You might have heard that last week, the Jewish people lost three great tzaddikim. One was Rav David Soloveitchik, one was Rav Yitzchak Shiner, and one was Rav Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. The three of them came from very different backgrounds. Rav David Soloveitchik was a son of the Briska Rav, a grandson of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He, as a child, grew up in the city of Brisk before the war, and ultimately moved to Eretz Yisrael after the war, and he had a yeshiva. He passed away last week at the age of 99. On the very same day, Rav Yitzchak Shiner passed away. Rav Yitzchak Shiner was 98 years old. Rav Yitzchak Shiner's upbringing was very different, and that's really what I want to come back to. Rav Shiner grew up a public school student in the city of Pittsburgh, and he made his way to yeshiva, and he ultimately became one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of our generation. And the third, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, was a noted psychiatrist, Hasidish Rebbe, author of dozens and dozens of Sfarim, of books. And it was a cataclysmic loss for the Jewish people. We lost all three of them on the same day. Now, even though you'll say, well, they were all either in their 90s or well into their 90s, but the impact that a tzaddik has on a location, we know Rashi tells us in Parshas Vayetze, Rashi says that when a tzaddik is in a place, he has a positive impact, even if on a spiritual level, he has a great positive impact. So we lost three great tzaddikim. I want to focus on Rabbi Shiner because, you know, I think maybe besides Eitan, we're not really Hasidish, right?
You're Hasidish?
He's not really Hasidish. But, no. But we're you know, okay, so there's a Hasidish Rebbe, a psychiatrist, okay. There's the son of the Briska Rav. We didn't grow up in the town of Brisk. We didn't grow up in the town of Brisk. We didn't grow up in Mea Shearim and Geula. It's a different background. But Rav Shiner was different. Rav Shiner, I spoke to him. I had a conversation with him. He spoke English. When he saw that you were an American boy, he was very happy to talk to you in English. And he's very happy to tell you that he grew up in Pittsburgh and that he was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. At the age of 16, his parents, who were Shomer Shabbos, which in those days was by far a given, even if you were committed to Torah, it was hard to keep Shabbos. His parents, somebody came to Pittsburgh, and since they were one of the families in town that kept Shabbos and kept kosher, this rabbi, Rabbi Bender, stayed at their house, and Rav Shiner, at the time was 16 years old, he said, why don't you send him to Yeshiva in New York? Yeshiva in New York? There's yeshivas in America? They didn't know that there was a yeshiva in America. They thought America was completely barren and desolate. It's not like today, where you can Google it, you can click on it, they had no information about what was going on in New York. They didn't know that there were yeshivas already sprouting in New York. And he said, of course, let's send them to yeshiva. And they sent them to Yeshiva University. Well, in those days, it was Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, which is the yeshiva part of YU. And he went to the shir of Rav Moshe Aaron Paleoff. Rav Moshe Aaron Paleoff, actually a great-granddaughter of his, is in 11th grade in our high school. I had her for a few years, Callie, a few years in middle school. Okay, so Rav Moshe Aaron Paleoff was his Rebbe for 2 years, and Rav Moshe Aaron convinced him to go to a camp called Camp Masifta, which was Yeshiva Tarvadas had a camp called Camp Masifta, which ultimately, I think, I don't know exactly the history, but ultimately there was a Camp Tarvadas. I went to Camp Tarvadas for the last 4 years that it existed. And from Camp Masifta, he transferred to Yeshiva Torah Vadas. He went to Yeshiva Torah Vadas. He became a student of Rav Shlomo Hyman. I'm going to say a lot of names that are very important to know for the history of Torah and the history of America, or Torah in America. Some of them might sound foreign, but you'll hear them again, and hopefully you'll start to appreciate who they are. Rav Shlomo Hyman was the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, and he was one of the main Talmidim of Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich. Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich was one of the main Talmidim of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Okay, so just putting things together. So Rav Shlomo Hyman, ultimately, Rav Shiner learns by Rav Shlomo Hyman, and ultimately Rav Shiner marries a granddaughter of Rav Baruch Ber. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. He joins the Kamenetz Yeshiva. Rav Baruch Ber in Europe had been the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva in Kamenetz. It was known as the Kamenetz Yeshiva. That wasn't the official name. That was the town, the area where he was from. And they relocated, like many of the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Mir and Panovich. These are all named after all the Hasidus. The Hasidish groups are all named after the location where they came from. So the Rebbes are all named after the Rebbe of the town where they came from. So the Kamenetz Yeshiva reestablished itself in Yerushalayim, and Rav Shiner was the Rosh Yeshiva became the Rosh Yeshiva of this Yeshiva, the Kamenetz Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, until he passed away last week. And the reason that his life, to me, is so meaningful with what he became is because I look at him and I see in him, you know, I could do that. I look at Rabbi Twersky and he was a brilliant person. He was a psychiatrist. He was from a Hasidic, from the Chernobyl Hasidic dynasty. Rabbi David Soloveitchik came from a Brisker dynasty. He was born into it. Rabbi Shiner came from a family that kept Shabbos, which was a huge deal when he was growing up. You know, so if you do the math quickly, he was probably born in 1923-ish. So when he was 16, it was 1939. It was really the start of the war. Just to put it into perspective, there were very few frum families. You go to a community, you didn't have a minion of frum families. That was obvious. And he was just a regular American kid. And he became a great Rosh Yeshiva. And that speaks to me. I want to tell you a story that happened. You know, he wasn't the only American boy who became a great Rosh Yeshiva in America. There were two others who were well known for being American, regular Americans, who became great Rosh Yeshiva. Nothing against regular Americans, by the way. And you'll see, it's just the opposite. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. If you ever seen pictures, Rav Scheinberg was the one who, he was a small, frail guy, wore a lot of pairs of tzitzis. You might have heard of him, I don't know. Maybe you've seen a picture. Always wore many, many pairs of tzitzis. He had his whole reason for doing it. He was an American boy, grew up in the east side of Manhattan or something. And the third American-born regular guy became a great Rosh Yeshiva, was my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi grew up in Chicago. He went to Ida Crown. He was the captain of his basketball team. You know, they have floating around a picture from his high school yearbook. Regular guy, nice guy, tall. He was very tall. And he went to Eretz Yisrael, and, you know, we like to say the rest is history, but it's not the rest is history. It was a regular American guy who became great. It wasn't like the rest is history as if like it just happened. It was commitment and dedication and work and toil and amelos in learning for decades that made him great. About 9 years ago, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel passed away. He was 68 years old. He was young. He was not well for a long time. And he passed away. Rav Scheinberg came to pay a shiva call. And Rav Scheinberg said something at the shiva call. The shiva call is, if you're not familiar, is when somebody passes away, all the close relatives sit on low chairs for the week following the passing or the funeral. And people come and people offer words of comfort or tell stories, or the relatives share stories. So Rav Scheinberg comes to the house, to the Finkel residence, and he sits down over there and he says, "You know, it used to be the Cubs, the Yankees, and the Pirates. But now it's only the Yankees and the Pirates that are left." And what was he saying? He was saying, those three American boys who became great Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Tzvi was from Chicago, he was a Cubs fan. Rav Scheinberg was from New York, he was a Yankee fan. And Rav Shiner was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. You know, we think of Gedolim, we think of the tzaddikim that we put on the walls. Long white beards, big black hats, long black coats, or however they looked. The Sfardim, Rav Avadia Yosef, okay, so he looked a little bit different, but also he's got this long beard. He's a big tzaddik, he's a big Talmud Chacham. We think that, like, well, Rav Avadia might be different. Rav Avadia from birth was like that. But we think of, like, to become like that, you had to have been from the age of two, only learning Gemara all day, and, only very much against your will agreeing to eat lunch, and giving up on all pleasures of this world. We think of Gedolim as boys who never got distracted, who never followed baseball. But here are three giants of Torah. And if you would speak to them, they always used to say, "Oh, I'm a Yankee fan." Rav Scheinberg was not. He always used to say, "I was a Yankee fan." Rav Shiner, he wasn't embarrassed that he was a Pirates fan. Rav Shiner from Pittsburgh, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg from New York, and Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel from Chicago, they all did it. They all became Gedolei Hador. The Cubs are gone. The Yankees are gone. And just last week, we lost our Pirates fan. But you should realize that these are people we should learn from. For them, it was part of their youth. It wasn't something that they were embarrassed about, and in spite of following baseball, they became great. Yes, when they became great, they didn't have time for baseball. They didn't have time to spend watching their national pastime. But they didn't walk away from it as if it was the wrong thing to do. For an American kid growing up, sports, recreation, it's how we grow up. But we should know that we could grow up and we could become even greater. We could become great in Torah. We could become great in Tefillah. We could become great in Chesed. All three of them sat in classrooms, I want to say just like you, but not even. Rav Nosson Zvi went to a school that was very similar to ours. But Rav Shiner was in public school through high school. He didn't even go to yeshiva until after high school. You know, we hear Rabbi Akiva, until he was 40 years old, didn't learn Torah. Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva lived 2,000 years ago. It's hard for us to relate to Rabbi Akiva. So we think, okay, so fine, he did that for the first 40 years, and then he learned for the next 40 years, and then he had students for the last 40 years, and he became one of the greatest Tanoim of all time. Wonderful. But he doesn't speak to us because we don't know him, we don't see him. 2 weeks ago, we shared an earth with Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, who didn't even start until after high school. We're ahead of the curve. We could be baseball fans, we could be football fans, or whatever else it is that we're into. We could also become great. These are our role models for becoming great. Something I want you to appreciate. I want to share with you a story that I saw that also spoke to me from a book called The Spark of a Story from Rabbi Yechiel Spiro. You might have heard Touched by a Story, Touched by a Prayer. There's a whole series of books by Rabbi Yechiel Spiro. Beautiful books with very inspiring stories. I want to read for you a story that he told. At the 50th yard site for Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler founded the Lakewood Yeshiva. It was a small nothing town a little south in New Jersey. Rav Aaron Cutler's grandson-in-law, Rav Uren Reich. Rav Uren Reich is married to Rav Aaron Cutler's granddaughter. Rav Uren Reich, the 50th yard site. Rav Aaron was nifter, I think, in 1962. So this story was told in the Lakewood Yeshiva about 8 or 9 years ago. And this is the story that he told. The Bacharim and the Yungalite. Yungalite are the married men who study in the yeshiva. The Bacharim and the Yungalite of Beis Medrash Gavoha, that's the name of the yeshiva. Beis Medrash Gavoa of Lakewood, along with all of Torah Jewry, were storming the gates of heaven. The situation was grave. Rav Aaron, the Rosh Yeshiva, was deathly ill, his fate in the hands of the Almighty. Yet, in spite of all the sincere prayers offered on his behalf, the Sar HaTorah, the Prince of Torah, was taken from us. While the devastation was enormous for the Torah world at large, it was even more so for the Bacharim and the younger light of Beis Medrash Gavoa. To them, Rav Aaron was not only a Rebbe and a Rosh Yeshiva, but he was a father as well. As is customary, the paroches, that's the curtain covering the Aron Kodesh, the paroches of the Aron Kodesh in the Lakewood Beis Medrash was moved to the side, and the men and the boys began to cry bitter tears. What was there to say? What was there to do? What possible injection of hope could salvage the situation? Rav Nosson Vachtvogel, the mashgiach of the yeshiva, stood up to speak. The devastated Bacharim and younger light bent their heads towards him as he began and hung on to his every word, desperate for solace, looking for consolation. What are we going to do? How are we going to move forward without Rav Aaron? And this is what he said. A short while ago, a Talmud Chacham Muvhak means a really big Talmud Chacham, relayed a dream of his. I never repeated it to anyone because of the kavod, the honor of Rav Aaron. We'll see in a moment what that meant. But now that Rav Aaron is no longer with us, I want to tell you what the dream was. Mashiach was sleeping on the couch. One day, the Chasam Sofer, who lived in the first half of the 1800s, and was the Rav in Pressburg, and was Ahava's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the Chasam Sofer walked into the room where Mashiach lay, and he approached Mashiach. He tapped him on the shoulder and tried to wake him up, but was unable to. Mashiach would not stir. The Chasam Sofer left the room. A short while later, Rav Aaron Cutler walked into the same room and went over to the couch. He, too, tried to get Mashiach to stir, but was unsuccessful. Rav Aaron also left the room. Finally, a young American boy wearing a baseball cap walked into the room. He walked over to Mashiach and tapped him on the shoulder. And Mashiach stood up. Rav Vachtvogel said to the Talmidim of the yeshiva, "My dear students, Mashiach didn't come for the generation of the Chasam Sofer. And now we know that he did not come for the generation of Rav Aaron Cutler. But Mashiach is coming soon. He's going to come for the generation of the young American boy wearing a baseball cap. He's coming for you." Now, it's easy to get discouraged. It's true. Mashiach didn't come for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva. He didn't come for Abaye and Rabba. Those are great Amoraim from the Gemara. Mashiach didn't come for Rashi and the Rambam or the Arizal and the Maharal. He didn't come for the Vilna Gaon or the Baal Shem Tov. He didn't come for the Chasam Sofer and Aaron Cutler, but he's coming for you and for me, for the young American boy in the baseball cap. Now, sometimes I'm overwhelmed. And I look at, you take a child who grew up in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, you feel it. It's palpable. You go into Yerushalayim, you go into some communities where the whole feeling, you're totally absorbed by Torah study. You're overwhelmed. I remember when I was in sleepaway camp, we had one boy from Yerushalayim. I don't know why he came to America for the summers and he came to camp. He spoke a broken English because his grandparents were American. And he would tell us what he's learning. And we were like, you do that already? Like, he was like 2 years ahead of us in everything. We were learning Shmos. He's in Dvarim. And we were learning... we're learning Rashi, and he's learning Rashi and Ramban, and Sforno and Kli Yakar, and Arachai Makadosh, and we're learning Mishnah, and he's already 2 years into Gemara, and we were overwhelmed. How could we keep up with this? How could we be like him? How could we ever reach that? And this is when we're 10, 12 years old. But you know what the answer is? The answer is that in Hashem's eyes, he loves you and cares about you just as much as any boy or girl growing up in Yerushalayim, growing up in Kedusha, growing up in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. America has a lot of things going on. and a lot of distractions. We don't live in the same world. We live in the world of the Cubs and the... Okay, so maybe it's not the Cubs and the Pirates, but it's the Yankees and the Dodgers and the good teams. But that's what we grow up with. We grow up with Super Bowls. But we should know that in Hashem's eyes, our mitzvos are just as important, if not more. And we should know that we have people to look up to that we could become like. As a Pirates fan, you could become Rav Shiner. And as a Yankee fan, you could become Rav Sheinberg. And as a Cubs fan, you could become Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. It takes hard work. It takes commitment. It takes dedication. But every single one of you in this room can be that person. When I was younger, when I used to see this, I used to feel like I can never be like that. But it's wrong. You can be that hard work. Just, if you want it as a sports mashal, I heard last week, Tom Brady, who apparently now is considered the greatest football player of all time, was drafted something like, I think he was 199th pick in the draft. That means that in the year that he was drafted, just that year, there were 198 players who they thought were better than him. Just that one year, there were 198 better players. And now, from all the years, all the decades that there's football, he's number one. We can all be great. And we should realize that Hashem is looking down at us, and Hashem knows the society that we grew up in, the challenges that we face. But if we stay committed, and we work hard, and we put in the effort, we can get there. We have the role models to do it. We should realize that we could be instrumental in the coming of Mashiach. As Rabbi Spiro ends, he's coming. He's coming for you and me. He's coming for the young boy and girl wearing the baseball cap. Never forget that. Never forget the koach that each and every one of you have. The ability and the potential. All you need to do is tap in.